This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to private banking service now for your business.
It's Monday, the 30th of June. This is your BizNews briefing. I'm Bronwyn Nielsen. It's been a weekend of fun and games in politics when it comes to South Africa's government of national unity. This after President Ramaphosa last week axed Deputy Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition, Andrew Whitfield, allegedly for travelling to the United States a couple of months ago without the president's permission. Whitfield, on the other hand, says he repeatedly asked for the permission but was met with silence from Cyril's office. Yesterday, the Democratic Alliance held a press conference. Let's dip into DA leader John Steenhuisen's speech.
In some cases, DA ministers have literally achieved more in 12 months than ANC ministers did in 30 years. And perhaps this is the real source of the ANC's double standards towards the DA, because they know that the DA is succeeding. They know that the performance of DA ministers make some of their contributions pale into insignificant. And, most importantly, they know that the opportunities for looting and stealing of public money are shrinking wherever the DA is present and wherever DA reforms are implemented. This flagrant double standard that protects the likes of Simelane and Kabane but acts against Whitfield proves that in the ANC's universe, the only things you dare not be are competent, honest, and hardworking. But sadly, this is not an isolated incident. It is about a pattern of disrespect, arrogance, and double standards. The ANC has refused to implement Clause 19.3 of the Statement of Intent that requires sufficient consensus to resolve disputes, directly undermining the GNU and the original Statement of Intent. And the president's now refusal to act against corruption within his own ranks, but singling out as a priority a DA deputy minister, risks confirming that his oft-repeated public commitment to clean governments is a sham. Until he replaces words with action against corruption within his own ranks, the DA sees no further point in wasting our breath in endless talk shops with the ANC. For that reason, the Democratic Alliance's federal executive, which met at 1 p.m. today, has resolved to withdraw from the national dialogue with immediate effect.
Meanwhile, Cyril allegedly cancelled an international trip as he was anticipating the DA's withdrawal from the government of national unity. The ANC, in response to the DA's withdrawal from the national dialogue, held a press briefing from Luthuli House yesterday, led by ANC spokesperson Mahlengi Bengu. The press briefing was carried on SABC. Bengu said that the DA continues to attempt to disrupt the workings of the government of national unity, and they are intent on disrupting the GNU.
South Africa is well alive and is accustomed to a culture of dialogue and engagement. The ANC won't comment on matters that are of important but a technical nature or operational nature, because we are not government. We are a movement of the people of South Africa. We are represented in government. It is government through the Office of the Presidency that can comment on matters such as the cost of that dialogue. But you cannot dismiss the significance and the profoundness of dialogue in South Africa. The Democratic Alliance has also said something in the direction of not going to support the passing of certain budget votes, particularly those pertaining to the Minister of Human Settlements, Thembi Simelane, and the Minister of Higher Education, Buhle Nkabane. Well, I suppose they do reserve that right. It happens all the time in Parliament. It is an attempt to disrupt the workings of the government of national unity. We note that. But secondly, the ANC caucus also reserves the right should it require to do so, not to support the budget votes where the president has appointed DA ministers. But because we are interested in the success of our country, it is important for us to come into a conversation. The ball is now in the court of the Democratic Alliance to make a decision about whether they are part of the government of national unity or they are a quasi-opposition party within the executive.
The ANC further said in its press briefing yesterday that it is the Democratic Alliance that continues to go against the statement of intent, which states that all signatories of the statement of intent will not tamper with redress policies.
The Democratic Alliance, it's not the ANC that went out of the statement of intent and mobilized against transformation policies. Go to the statement of intent. The statement of intent is very clear. It says that all the parties that are signatories to that statement of intent will not tamper with redress policies. It's there in black and white. The DA has been to court, I don't know how many times, challenging the Land Expropriation Act, challenging the Bella Act, challenging the NHI Act, challenging the employment equity legislation. Those are four major transformation legislations. And they've, of course, furiously campaigned against broad-based black economic empowerment. And I think it is for South Africans to figure out who is violating the agreements and the agreements that are contained in the statement of intent. It is the DA that went abroad to the United States to complain about these redress policies and lobby other like-minded right-wing organizations in the US. It's not the African National Congress. And of course, we all know the implications of that.
ANC Secretary General Fikile Mbalula has entered the fray, saying that if the Democratic Alliance goes for a vote of no confidence against Cyril, they will no longer be in the government of national unity. Mbalula says the DA cannot continue to blackmail the ANC with threats of walking away every time they disagree.
If they propose a motion of no confidence, it means they then are out of the GNU. We will wait for when they want to do that. And then if they do that, then they are out of the GNU and the ANC will deal with those matters. Tomorrow, we will reflect on these developments as the National Working Committee and decide what needs to be done. But it's vividly clear that we are behind the president. And at the same time, we are not moved by any threat, including ultimatums. Government is not run by ultimatums. If you respect each other, they must learn to speak properly through us, not through ultimatums. You can't give an ultimatum to a person whom you serve in his executive. They have a choice. If they think that this government of national unity doesn't serve them well, they have a choice to leave. So they have a choice to stay. We also have a choice to work with everyone for the interest of the people of South Africa. It is not good for the economy that the DA want to hold government at the ransom. At all time when there is a difference, they threaten with walking away. It's a blackmail. You can't run a relationship on the basis of blackmail. And you need to respect your partner. Here we are not being respected. Every time there is a point of difference, they threatened to go. There will be differences in this government of national unity because we did not come here as like-minded political parties. Those things that unite us outweigh those that divide us. So it cannot be that once we differ on a single issue, including the removal of a deputy minister of an opposition in the GNU, then that party threatens with walk away and threatens with a motion of no confidence. Government is not run in that way.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Every Sunday evening, Chris Steyn sits down with a leader of the United Independent Movement, Neil De Beer. Here are his sentiments on what he perceives to be the current chaos within the government of national unity.
One runs out of words. One runs out of emotions. One runs out of recipe. As jy nie koek kan bakkie, kan jy hom nie bakkie. Hou op and go to Woolies or Checkers. Because whatever they are using in this recipe, in the GNU, in the relationship between the DA and the ANC, they are running out of recipes and they're running out of concept of how to deal with matters. Now, in the past 2 days, we've had the president using his prerogative, this is now the new word we will be focusing on, prerogative, under his Section 93 to hire and fire cabinet ministers and deputy ministers, and he did so. So this week, Mr. Andrew Whitfield, a DA deputy minister appointed to the cabinet by the president, was told that he was very naughty and that he is going to be fired because he didn't have permission to travel to a country on his own accord, paid for by the DA, and that he didn't get the clearance. That sparked an immediate reaction now on the other side, like you cannot imagine, on the DA screaming foul play, red card, and that the punishment on Mr. Whitfield was over-exceeded, extra ferocious, and that they are absolutely not happy with it. Also to the fact that, again, the ANC did not let the DA know, again, that the DA was not consulted into this. And even when John asked, apparently, for 2 days, 24 hours, to consult with his party and with the minister in question, that when John walked out of the office 3 hours later, they sent it in any case. That then sparked this whole flare-up. And here we go again, Chris. They're going to leave the GNU. So now we know from insiders that there was a massive, massive call from people within the DA that they leave and that this is the last straw of many other little straws that have been broken, some of them that we as public don't even know about. Now, Chris, when you decide that you are going to get into a partnership, a consortium, a coalition, a partnership for life, then there are rules. But in politics, those rules all seem to have a caveat, which says you will not do this, comma, until you hard fall. You shall not break this until you hard fall. It's that little thing that seems to creep up every time. And now, in a huge build-up, a crescendo on Saturday where even I was saying, please leave the GNU. This is an opportune moment. Kapela. We now get told they are going to leave the national dialogue. Now, Chris, you don't hunt a buffalo with a Vimbux. Now, a Vimbux, for those don't know, is a firearm propelled by wind. And it goes like this. Now, you try and shoot the buffalo with a Vimbux. The only thing I can tell you as a person that has seen someone hunt a buffalo with a huge gun, jy moet baie rugby bal hê. So let me quickly tell you, that's what the DA did on Saturday.
The EFF's Julius Malema is also calling for the DA to exit the GNU, with political commentators saying this is no surprise, as the DA's exit may well be the EFF's ticket into a potentially newly constituted GNU.
They have no reason to complain. They went into a marriage and knowing very well that they are going with an ANC corrupt government into a marriage. These are unnecessary threats. If the DA was anti-corruption, the DA was pro-poor, the DA was to ensure that they will restore the dignity of our people, they should have allowed the ANC to govern as a minority party. There was nothing forcing them to go into government. They should have stood outside and allowed the ANC to constitute its own government and continue to oppose the ANC if they want to do so. You cannot oppose the government you are part of. They are in government. Whatever decision Ramaphosa takes, they are part of that decision because they decided to be part of this mess. So if they don't want the mess, they must stay outside and then allow the ANC to do a minority government. The ANC has got a minority government in Gauteng, where the DA, they refused to work with the DA. So the DA can freely express itself without any hesitation because they are not part of government. How do you become part of government and travel overseas without the permission of a president? That is not government. That is anarchy. And when you are being punished in line with what the president is responsible for, you complain. They just want to run like they are government of their on their own. There is no president. There is a president here. Whether they like him or not, they voted for him. And then they have to respect him and respect the government protocols. They don't want that. They must step out and let the ANC do its own mess. And then we all oppose it collectively.
Meanwhile, as people consider an ANC, MK, EFF, GNU, there is no love lost between Jacob Zuma and the current ANC leadership. Zuma is not taking the ANC to court for his expulsion from the ANC last year. Here's ANC First Deputy Secretary General Nomvula Mokonyane.
The former member of the ANC who was expelled from the ANC, taking the ANC to court. Again, these are the freedoms. These are the freedoms. Because in any other democracy that is not based on the will of the people and the recognition of the courts and stuff, other people would have done something. The ANC, of course, will go and defend our stance. We will do that for the good of the organization. And most importantly, we really want to be spared this thing that in every platform where we are, this former member becomes a subject. We're done with the former member. We're going to court to express our constitutional processes so that he himself can appreciate the will of the people of South Africa.
Moving from politics to the international business environment, NVIDIA is close to becoming the first company to reach a $4 trillion market capitalization, that is. Bloomberg Intelligence's Mandeep Singh discusses the demand fueling the growth with Ed Ludlow on Bloomberg Tech.
And Mandy, why it's so crucial we have you on the show is you cover the full spectrum of mega cap tech. $4 trillion for NVIDIA, what would be supporting that valuation?
Yeah, look, every data point that we have tracked this quarter has been supportive of estimates going up. The latest one being Micron talking about, you know, how their HBM sales continue to ramp up better than expected. And when it comes to inferencing, clearly the trend of, you know, spending more compute at the time of query, the reasoning capabilities that these models have added, especially with OpenAI O series, what that has done is really reinforce compute demand tied to inferencing. And that, to me, is what's driving this wave of, you know, enthusiasm around NVIDIA's runway, because the $200 billion number for this year, clearly there is a line of sight. Even when you take out all the China revenue, which they did, you know, with the guide in the last quarter. And so the question is, how much will they grow next year? And right now, consensus is around $250 billion. So with sovereigns coming into play, especially Middle East, and now Jensen being in Europe, you feel like, you know, they have line of sight to that revenue as well. And that's why, you know, the multiple seems to be expanding here.
Okay, the stocks are just below $157 per share. I was doing the math with the team, and I think that $164 per share or just below it would get us to $4 trillion of market cap. NVIDIA was the first chip maker to hit $1 trillion of market value, and of course it's gone well beyond that. But there are headwinds, and I think what, Mandeep, would be helpful to the audience is to explain what's the threat to NVIDIA. Some of it is the custom silicon that the hyperscalers are looking at, but there are other players in the market. AMD will have something to say about this monopoly that NVIDIA currently holds.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, NVIDIA opening up its platform, the NVLink, now supporting other chips, was such a big move and coming in at a great time, because now they are saying you can get Broadcom gear, but we'll be able to integrate it with our NVLink. And that's where the opening up of ecosystem, I think it's a very wise move. And that helps NVIDIA, because all the investment that companies are making in NVIDIA stack now can support some other chips. So with that being said, look, I mean, the numbers are getting bigger and bigger. So you kind of think, yes, NVIDIA is a durable monopoly, but for how long, given, you know, all the other factors that you just described? But
right.
For right now, it feels like they clearly are executing very well on that front.
And that brings us to the end of today's BizNews briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more context on both the global and local front. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to finance solutions that enable real growth.